Do you wonder if your faith is strong enough? Do you wrestle with doubt? Are you troubled by a lack of confidence in God? Well, this morning we're going to explore the nature of faith. I mean, what is faith? So that no matter where your walk is with God, by the end of the message, I hope that you'll be able to trust Him more and be assured of His great love. So let's start with a bit of a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to come to your word, to open up scripture, to hear your great love for us. May your spirit open our hearts and minds to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's a question. How many here like flying, you know, getting into a plane? Do you dread the thought of flying? Are you nervous? Do you not sleep at night? Are your knees a little bit shaky as you climb up the gantry stairs? Do you feel the walls closing in when you walk through that narrow doorway? And do you grip the side of the seats as the plane hurtles down the runway? Or do you love flying? Do you get excited about flying? Do you look forward to leaving terra firma and going off to destinations exotic and fun? So, what do you think of flying? Are you nervous or scared? Or do you think it's a lot of fun? A young mother shares of her fear of flying and she writes this. I was flying from Japan to Taiwan and I was in the bathroom with my four-year-old while my husband and our two boys were sitting in the seats. Then turbulence hit and we were thrown around and knocked to the floor. In fact, we were thrown so hard that we hit the bathroom door and it flung open and we spilled out onto the floor. Now at last things settled and we returned to our seats and I was shaken. However, the smiles on my husband's face on the boys told me that they had loved the turbulence. I hated flying even more. And though that flight was horrible, I've still flown a few more times since. And each time I have to battle doubts and fight back fears. And when turbulence hits, I grab my husband's hand and I squeeze and I squeeze and I squeeze. Because my faith in aircraft is weak. She goes on to say, but my husband's and my children's faith in aircraft is strong. I can't believe they never ask what sort of condition the plane's in or give safety issues a second thought. And when turbulence strikes, the rest of the family cry out, this is awesome. So which story do you relate to? Do you relate to the wife who's nervous or fearful? Or do you relate to the husband who loves flying? So with this in mind, a mother with weak faith and a husband and father who loves flying, who has strong faith, let's explore about faith in God. Instead of faith in flying and the pilot, what does faith in God look like? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, faith is being sure of what we hope for and confident of what we cannot see. Faith is trusting despite there are reasons not to trust. Because we can't see what we're trusting in. That's faith. So when it comes to flying, we know that if you get a metal container and put it a kilometre above in the sky and fill it full of people and let it go, we know that that metal container is going to go hurtling down to earth, don't we? And scientists have a name for this and they call it the law of gravity. And so no wonder we're fearful about climbing into a container made of metal, because we know that gravity is going to pull it down to the ground. However, despite this, there's another law. So on this hand, we have the law of gravity, but on this hand, we have the law of aerodynamics, where engineers have used those laws to make planes that fly. And the other thing we know is that every day, tens if not hundreds of thousands of planes take off and land safely. And that's why we get into a plane, don't we? Because on the one hand, we know that the law of gravity is going to make things fall to the ground, but on the other hand, we know the law of aerodynamics is going to keep the plane up. That's what faith is, isn't it? Every time you get into a plane, you are exercising significant amounts of faith. because you get into that machine and know that it's going to get you to your destination. Do you know it's very similar when it comes to things about God? Let's look at the resurrection, which is core to the Christian faith. Was Jesus raised from the dead? Well, on the one hand, there's a law of nature that says dead things stay dead. It's true, isn't it? Now, you may be on the operating table and your heart may stop and the medical staff may resuscitate you. And then you may live for a few decades afterwards. But at the end of the day, even if you've been resuscitated, you are going to die and stay dead one day. So, on the one hand, we have the law of death. But what do we have on the other hand? Remember flying? We had the law of gravity, but we had the law of aerodynamics. Well, faith, believing in Jesus rose from the dead, means that we, on the other hand, believe the evidence. We believe that God reached down and raised Jesus from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion. But what's the evidence? What's the laws that are in process here? Well, we haven't got time to discuss all of the evidence, but there's lots of evidence. In short, not just the disciples saw Jesus and wrote about it after he rose from the dead, not just his mother, she saw Jesus, but also there were 500 other people that saw Jesus after he had been crucified and was alive. And we can read this in the Bible. Not only that, out of the 11 disciples, remember there were 12? What happened to Judas? It didn't work out well for him, doesn't it? So there were 11 disciples, and all of them were killed for their faith. They were all killed because they said, Jesus rose from the dead. Now, if it was a lie, who dies for a lie? So the fact that all the disciples, except for John, I must admit, John spent his life in prison, the end of his life in prison, but they all said Jesus rose from the dead. So you see, there's a lot of evidence there. On the one hand, dead people stay dead. On the other hand, we have eyewitness accounts and the life of the disciples. And that is why we believe Jesus rose from the dead. And that's faith. You have faith when you get into a plane, law of gravity, law of aerodynamics. We have faith in Jesus, the law of dead people staying dead, but against that, we have eyewitness accounts and the life and the death of the disciples. Now, there's more evidence as well, but that's just one way of looking at it. Now, when it comes to how much faith we had, Jesus said some very encouraging words. Jesus said this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. You may remember this is quite a famous quote of Jesus's. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Now, a mustard seed is very, very small. It will be the tiniest seed that a gardener will ever plant. And yet that tiny seed grows into a tall, strong plant that offers shade to the birds and produces fruit, in this case, mustard seeds. And so Jesus' point is this, and it's very encouraging. Even the smallest amount of faith counts. Why? Because this is crucial, and this is the big picture. This is the main point I want to make this morning. It's not the size of our faith that counts. It's where we put our faith. That's what matters. So it's not an issue whether you have a small amount of faith or a large amount of faith. It's not a matter of if your faith is small or if it's large, it's who you place your faith in. Even the smallest amount of faith, this faith the size of a mustard seed, if it's placed in Jesus, makes all the difference. And this is what the young mother found it as well. Remember I told you about the young man who was really scared about flying? This is what she writes. Here's what I learned. This is what the young mum said. Even though my faith in flying is weak, where my family's faith in flying is strong, we all arrive at the same destination. Even though I wrestle with doubt, and they don't, we all get delivered to the same place. The captain doesn't come into my seat and say, I'm sorry, ma'am, but because you doubt this plane's ability to fly, you have to get off now. That's not how it works. Because my husband has strong faith, I have weak faith, but guess what? We still get to the same destination safely. What a neat lesson that the mum learned. Even though she's scared of flying and has weak faith in flying, she still flies, she still gets to her destination. And it's the same with us. We may have weak faith or strong faith, even the size of a mustard seed. But if we place it in Jesus, we will get to our destination. And what's our destination? Well, the end goal of our faith is eternal life, that we receive in part now when we believe in Jesus, but that we will receive in all fullness on the other side of the grave. Now that's good news, isn't it? Eternal and everlasting life, a place where there is no more suffering or no more pain, a place where every tear is wiped away from every eye. You see, whether you have strong faith or weak faith, faith as small as a mustard seed, be assured that if you place it in Jesus, you are greatly loved, completely forgiven, and totally accepted into the family of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, some of us have very weak faith. We don't have a lot of confidence in you. And we pray that you will help our faith, like the mustard seed, to grow. And we ask that you will help our faith to be focused on Jesus. Thank you for the eternal and everlasting life that you have promised us as we look to Christ.